We are privileged to have Brother Michael Balco, hails all the way from Florida, and he has chosen a timely subject, and it's called With Purpose of Heart. With Purpose of Heart. And it's a great privilege to be able to introduce to you Brother Michael Balco, please.
Hello, dear brethren. Thank you, Brother Ken. And certainly I wanted to first say that it's been a blessed privilege to be here for the last several days to meet with the brethren and to have sweet fellowship. We appreciate the labors of love on our behalf and behind-the-scenes work, preparation of the food, taking care of our temporal needs, and also the good discussions we've had on spiritual subjects since I came in on Thursday evening. And those who picked me up, my plane was late. And again, also, I want to bring the love of my wife, Sister Vicky, who's down in Orlando. Spoke with her last evening. She wanted to be remembered to everyone, and also her mother, Sister Jeanette Kwiatkowski. She's had a few health problems lately, but doing okay right now, and she sent her love. And, of course, we had the love brought by Brother Ernie, but our class meets three times a week, so they'll send love each time we meet. And the last time I was there was Wednesday evening. So appreciated that love that they sent. And they think of you often. They remember you in prayer. And we're going to thank Brother Ernie for giving such a good discourse this first session and a good lead into words we want to really talk about. Because it has to do with, as our subject was announced, it is this with purpose of heart. And dear brethren, I think in the world today in which we're living with so much of a lack of concern for fellow man, a coldness sometimes that we see, it's very important, very, very important that we have a strong heart, a heart deeply rooted and grounded in love that comes from the Heavenly Father. So our theme text that we wanted to use this morning is from Acts 10:23. It's Acts 10:23. And it's words really from that Barnabas spoke to the church at Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Paul also tells us in Romans 12:9, cleave unto that which is good. And it could, of course, the good things are every word that would proceedeth out of the mouth of the true and living God. He is indeed such a blessed, loving Father, and He wants us to have this purpose of heart. You have a direction, you have a goal, you have an aim. You know, you're setting your affections, your things, your sights on things above. And then you're letting your light shine in your life. And you have to be carrying out these things. It's really our heart condition. In Greek, cardia, proposed, the supposed seat of our intellect. And we want to do all we can to serve the true and living God. We want to tell Him, as it says in Judges 16:17, all of our heart, all of our motives, everything we have inside us, we want to express to the Father. If we go way back into the Scriptures, of course, into Genesis, the account in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And since He did, remember that since God is love, He gave His human creation the capacity to love. Very important aspect. And in Deuteronomy 11:13, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to my commandments which I gave and which I have commanded to you this day, to love the Lord and to serve Him with all of your heart. And really, also, Samuel, he tells us two times about this importance of love. We're going to mention the one in 1 Samuel 12, really verse 20 to 24. Where he says to, and again, it's 1 Samuel 12:20-24, serve Him with all of your heart. We're told to set your affections on things above. And we want to do that in our lives. for God is indeed love. So you serve Him with your whole heart. Several times in the Scriptures it is brought out in our Lord's words about this service, this love that we're supposed to have. And really we are compelled, we are actually commanded to have this type of a heart, as expressed by Samuel in serve Him with all your heart. It's recorded several places, as I said, Luke 10:27, Matthew 22:37, and Mark 12:30. And thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all of thy strength, with everything that we have to give. And we're told this is the first commandment. And then in Mark 12:31, and this is the second, it's like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And our Lord was expanding on these because He said later in Matthew 22:40, on these two laws, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. And He ties that into the original commandment, have no other gods before me. It's in Exodus 20:3, no other gods before me. So we have to have a heart that is centered on the things above. It's centered on ways to please the Heavenly Father, to serve Him to the best of our abilities. And so let's look at some characteristics of the heart. Job 23:16. Again, characteristics of the heart. Maketh my heart soft. You want to have your heart soft. And again, we realize that's to feel, to have compassion for one another. We're told to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, preferring one another in Romans 12:10. Also, another scripture from Job 29:13. He caused a widow's heart to sing. A widow's heart to sing, to praise Him for His goodness and His blessings, to be joyful. And I really enjoy meditating upon the Psalms, the wonderful expressions of a human being as he was moved by the grandeur of the creation, by his loving devotion to his true and living God. And so, if we have this goodness and blessing to be joyful, we can do as it says in Psalm 19:8, rejoicing in the heart. We remember that other verse, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Are you leading that type of a life? Are you reflecting that type of a character when you're out amongst the world, when you're living your life, your daily life? Another verse from Psalm 64:6. Psalm 64:6. My heart is deep. Now, if your heart is deep, there's more room, more opportunity to have it filled up with the blessings of God. Filled up and added to, and even continuing to do that to be at the point of overflowing. And if you have this type of a heart that's deep, you know, deeply rooted and grounded in sound doctrine, there's another scripture in Psalm 27:3. Psalm 27:3. My heart shall not fear. Because we realize that if God is for us, who can be against us? There's nothing in this world that is too great an obstacle for the Lord to remove. And we know that His plans and purposes are being worked out. There's a further petition made to God in Psalm 119:80. Psalm 119:80. Let my heart be strong to draw nigh unto God with a true heart. Again, Hebrews 10:22. It's our desire to serve Him with a singleness of heart. We're told about the admonitions against being double-minded. So we have to have the singleness of heart. Colossians 3:22 tells us, servants, obey your master. And also that if you do these things, your goals would lie in heavenly things. Again, not double-minded and not double-hearted. But you serve him with your whole heart. We had some words spoken earlier that apply to the world of mankind, but they also apply to us. You once had a heart of stone. You did not know God, but you came to have that stony heart changed to a heart of flesh that could have compassion and have understanding. And through the Holy Spirit then could apply those things and store them again into that heart that was deep. For as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:2-3, the Heavenly Father's love, it is written on the fleshly tables of your heart. I've kind of changed the order a little bit of this, so please give me that allowance. It's written on the fleshly tables of your heart because you desire. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of men. And it is written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And also points out really the importance of approaching the Heavenly Father through the Son. For it is that Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is really why we have to develop this strong heart, because we realize that, as we're going to speak later, there's trials and afflictions and persecutions and testings that are going to come along. And it's going to test the strength of your heart and your character likeness with the dear Son, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And also then in verse 4 of this 2 Corinthians 3, we trust and we have through Christ Jesus to Godward, renewed in the knowledge and in the image of He that created Him. And also then set that pattern for us to follow in His footsteps. And further, familiar words, 2 Peter 1:10, give all diligence that you make your calling and election sure, pressing on to that mark of perfect love that is set before us. And so our view, our disposition should be, as recorded in Psalm 139:23, search me, O Lord, and know my ways, try my heart. And help me then, if I'm not living up to my responsibilities, if I am not living up to my vows of consecration, I need help. And help me along those lines. And of course, the loving Heavenly Father is always there through His Son with that listening ear to help us in all of our problems. And then it would compel us to walk uprightly with God. And if you do this, there's another scripture that comes into play. It's Isaiah 65:14. You will sing for joy of heart. Didn't you enjoy singing those hymns that we just sang? It brought joy to your heart because you realize the words are true. And they are being fulfilled and have been fulfilled. And the wonderful promises of God. And at the same time, if you have this joy in your heart, you know how to approach God, and you're approaching Him humbly and reverently. And that's brought out in Matthew 11:29. The meek, the lowly of heart. The Lord Jesus was coming to them. We heard the message this morning about how our Lord was seeking out those who are in need of help and curing and comfort and consolation. And in our own lives, He's not going to heal our physical infirmities, but He's going to help us to keep our hearts, our motives, our new mind, our new creature growing and developing in a way that would be pleasing to Him. So if you're seeking after Him, if you're seeking after truth and righteousness, there's another Psalm 27:3. My heart shall not fear. And again, in Psalm 108:1-4, Psalm 108:1-4. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. I will sing praises unto thee amongst the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reached above the clouds. Isn't that what is being done in this building and has been done in this building? You're sending forth praises to God amongst the nations, that His mercy is great and it exceeds far above any kingdom that has ever been established on this earth. And His will is being done, no matter who or what would strive to put that down. His message of truth goes grandly on. And He has selected His footstep followers to help in spreading this gospel message, the glad tidings of great joy, to all people who have a listening ear. And will one day have that veil of darkness and despair, the blindness removed from them. Psalm 28:4. You are able to do this now. Trust in Him because, again, your heart would trust in Him. It said it trusted in Him. You said, teach me, help me to know your ways. And He has responded to that with the help that He gives us all along each day that we're privileged to walk in this narrow way. And as we do this, Ephesians 5:19 tells us to have singing and making melody in your heart. To me, that shows that when we're in a group such as we are today, it's easy to have love. You're loved, a brother or sister comes up and hugs you or gives you a kiss or a handshake, a pat on the back. But you have to take that with you as you leave here. And our Father promised never to leave us or forsake us, so He has that planted in our hearts. And as we go out in our daily lives, we have to do as our Lord tells us in Luke 6:45. And it tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Remember 1 John 2:20. Ye have an unction from the Holy One. And we realize, and ye all know it. You can feel the Holy Spirit. You can see the operation of it in your brethren. And so if you do this, I know I heard a discourse saying that we should speak words to help and encourage our brethren. And recorded in John 3:18-19. John 3:18-19. My little children, let us not have this kind of love that is only in thought. But we are told that we have to do it in word, not only in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And assurance of our hearts before Him. So in other words, having it is not enough. But we must do this thing. We must proclaim our love and show it with an anointed, an oily tongue. And how does an oily tongue speak? It's anointed with the Holy Spirit of compassion and understanding. We have to do this. You're not going to find that compassion and understanding in the world. They don't understand the Word of God. We had a little instance in Orlando where we had some visitors at a study last week. And they just tried to pound their views. And you did not see the Spirit of the Lord there at all. So we want to dwell together in unity of the Spirit, of hope, and a full assurance of faith that we trust in the true and living God in all things. And if you do these things, the issues of life result in being really what? Not compared with the glories that lie beyond the veil when it's this time of its trials and testing and experiences are over. We are being looked at now concerning our fitness for eternal life. And we are put to the test because we say we are followers of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And our motto for a day is, for me to live is to live for Christ Jesus. And aren't we so thankful that because of the Heavenly Father's heart and His Son's heart, He covers us under that robe of righteousness. He sees our imperfections of flesh, which do crop up. But He told us also of some wonderful promises There's one in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they shall see God. Another one that was quoted earlier, Ezekiel 18:31. He'll make you a new heart. And of course, this follows for the world of mankind. And in Ezekiel 11:19, I will give them one heart. Again, it's that heart of stone turned to a heart of flesh. Jeremiah has a couple also. Some promises. There's one in Jeremiah 24:7. The one we're going to read is Jeremiah 31:32-33, which I know you're familiar with. Jeremiah 31:32-33. I will write a new covenant upon their hearts. And it leads to then, all will know him from the least to the greatest in verse 34. We now, though, are thankful each day that we have an enlightened mind that can grasp these deep things of God through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:6. The light shined out of darkness has shined in your heart. And we realize that's so important because of the darkness that exists in the world. Your light bearers, your way, your pathway is lit again. And as we realize, a light that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, but it should shine forth to those you come in contact with. Proverbs 16:1. Remember, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. This is one of them also. Proverbs 16:1. The preparations of the heart in man is from the Lord. And I'm talking about really the child of God right now, the new mind, the new creature. The preparation is being done by God. We have to realize that, again, we are submissive to his testings, his shaping, his polishing, however you want to term it. That, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Approaching God through the Son, that we can have a standing, we have an advocate. That Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:19, that the day star may arise in your heart. A day star? What is that day star? It's a sun. Right? The Son of Righteousness. He's in your heart. And, you know, if you go through a time in your life with trials and testings and some hard experiences, you're comforted by that sun. And when you wake up in the morning, you see that sunshine. It gives you a good feeling. And that Son of Righteousness is with us at all times. 2 Corinthians 4:6. God, who commanded the light, has shined in our hearts to really give us this light of knowledge. And we have this treasure, though, we realize once again, in earthen vessels. And it shows us again how careful we should be, and we must be. This is a narrow way. This is a hard way. Let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto thee. So our Heavenly Father has to have the first place in the human heart. Again, as we said, any division of heart or strength or mind or soul or being violates that commandment. That was, my son, give me thine heart. How careful we should be. Our words, our motives. 2 Peter 3:1, that it may stir up your mind. Stir it up to what? It's brought out in James 3:17. That wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated. It's there for you to take advantage of. There's so much in the world today that can take our minds away from God and service to God. But we want to have the attitude that we want to resist that, steadfast to the end. Again, Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Well, there is nothing. That would probably be our first answer, but there is one thing. It's self. Self. Selfish interest, discouragement goes along with that. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for the heart that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. Again, back to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord looketh upon the heart. And in Jeremiah 11:20, I know thou triest the heart. And we realize that throughout our writings in the Holy Word, there are examples of having a right heart. Of course, our Lord, as He is in everything, He's the prime example of being fully dedicated to the Father, of giving His whole heart in service, even that ended His life that way. Remember the words about Solomon, though, in 1 Kings 4:29, Solomon. He gave Solomon largeness of heart that came from the Heavenly Father. And in 1 Kings 11:4, the heart of his father David gave prayers of thanksgiving. The heart, as we said, created by the Heavenly Father and with His Son, came from John 3:18, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this wonderful Son, then, Matthew 8:17, the things mentioned really earlier by our brother Ernie, He Himself took our infirmities. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He's now set at the right hand of God. So with these wonderful promises, though, dear brethren, we realize that there are also admonitions. With the blessings, there come some things, as we said before. Just to remind you once again, in Chronicles 12:33, do not be of a double heart. Obadiah 3, the pride of the heart deceiveth thee. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord in your heart. There's really this searching, the uncompromising that we have to have. James 4:8, there's an admonition to purify your heart. Again, 2 Thessalonians 3:5, direct your heart into the love of God. And also, we have admonitions to forgive. Matthew 18:35. If ye in your heart forgive not, ye shall not be forgiven. You have to have compassion. If you do these things, our Lord tells us in John 14:1, let not your heart then be troubled. Philippians 4:7, keep your hearts and minds. Again, we realize that keeping your heart and your motives pure, that's keeping your mind, your disposition in perfect peace. And you'll have that if your mind, again, as we said, is stayed on Him. Luke 16:15. God knoweth your heart. That which is highly esteemed amongst men is an abomination to God. How many of you ever seen TV lately? Anybody seen any television lately? You see people ever pound on their chest, look what I did, how so wonderful. It could be such a minor thing, but they're taking pride, and that's all you see today. We have to fight against that. You know, that's the mindset of the world. That's the adversary. And we don't want to have any part in a prideful word. But we want to humble ourselves. Because we realize the heart is like a fountain. It must be kept pure. If we think an unkind thought, something ungenerous toward another, speaking unkind words, we should go to the throne of heavenly grace for forgiveness. And also, as it says in Micah 6:8, to have mercy. You know, mercy is something that everybody wishes to have extended to them. to themselves, especially when some sort of difficulty has been encountered. We look at the divine character, realize the quality of our loving, kind, and merciful Father, creating His Son in His image, and then mankind endowed with the attribute of mercy. He fell away from using it. We see unkindness every day in our lives, and hatred and malice. But we want to have the guidelines that come from Matthew 6. Really, that holds the whole chapter of Matthew 6. Realizing that pleasure and delight and joy and comfort, these sentiments of the heart are suggested by the word, lay up treasures in heaven and not on this earth. And we want to do that. The pastor writes, how many have built hope upon earthly things, only to have them as elusive bubbles floating away and then just leaving, popping, leaving the heart at last broken, crushed, and barren. That's worldly hopes and ambitions. But again, the child of God wants to have that deep heart. You made a covenant of a sacrifice to walk in the Son's footsteps, to suffer with Him that you might also reign with Him. And we want to go on with a fixed purpose, living up to the terms of our vows of consecration, our covenant. And we want to do that in a way faithfully, certainly. Ephesians 1:14 to 20. We're not going to read it because of the sake of time, but it tells us which is to be the earnest of your inheritance, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of this calling and the riches of His love. You know, that those good things that He supplies to you, to us who believe. It's really His truth. The divine plan of God, that is all that we need. It's our armor. It's our shield, our buckler. It brings us safely through trials and testings. But we have to make our effort. We have to put our total trust in Him, come what may. We meditate upon the truth. And we look in it as our heart, as our minds. Are we daily striving to remain loyal, uncompromising as far as the doctrines of the truth are concerned? And we do this by being well-rooted and grounded in love, in a strong heart. You know, when we had, you all know that, excuse my father, to my father saying y'all, but in Florida we had hurricanes last year, 4. The trees, like camphor trees that had shallow roots, they were blown away in an instant. But some of those big trees that you thought would not be there, they were deeply rooted and they withstood that. And that's what we want to have our characters, deeply rooted in the Word of God. A heart that's strong, that can resist the darts, the arrows, the winds of controversy. Because we realize we have special care. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 91, 11 and 12. For He shall give His angels charge over them to keep thee in all of thy ways. It's really a wonderful promise of God's protection over us. He provides us with teachers, with expounders of the words, some good on certain aspects of the truth and others good on other aspects. Chronology, the teachings of Christ, the ones on love, a wonderful example of service. And I know we can all think of someone in our life who helped us in a time of need, that was provided by God, who was a teacher, was a mentor. Just when we needed them. Words that were spoken, you know, those words spoken are like those apples of gold, pitchers of silver. Those words that come from the Father. Wonderful words, providential care, protection that help us to go on and run this race for the prize of the high calling. Each of us here has the same goals, the same desires that we want to be pleasing to the Father. And so we want to build up one another. We want to uplift one another. And we have those same goals as those who walked this narrow way before. many who sat in this room in past days, past years, realizing that we have this wonderful faith from God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Christian life is a life of faith. The first step that we take, there are steps of faith. The last step that we take, God willing, will be a triumph of faith. And every victory that we gain over the flesh and its resistance to sacrifice is really a substantial foundation that we're laying. And so our faith must be a reasonable thing, but very rooted and grounded, immovable, sure, steadfast. These are all the words that help to describe it. For the word of God must live in us, for it abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. And we want to go on and do these things, because if we do that, remember, all that is begotten of God overcomes the world. You can overcome the spirit of the world, separate, sanctified to God for His service, here and hereafter. So we must exercise this faith in our lives, daily. It flows really through us to be more than conquerors. We want to be more than overcomers. The called, the chosen, the faithful. And we want to realize we can do this through Him that loved us first and who asked us to give our hearts to Him, and we did it. And we did it lovingly and out of an understanding of what our vows of consecration entail. And also, we're ever approaching that mark of perfect love that cannot be really attained without knowledge, faith, and courage, which leads to overcoming, giving our all to Him. And we do this through prayer, it says, and sacrifice. Having an active prayer life, I think that's part of our heart's development. Remembering those in prayer. And I know we've all been touched by prayers. We thanked our brethren for the prayers. And truly He will cover us with His feathers, and under His wings shall thee find shelter. Psalm 91:4. We realize that our trials and testings are for a purpose. The completed church bringing blessings to all the families of the earth. Resisting the devil steadfast to the end. They're the words from Peter in 1 Peter 5:8, to be sober and vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a lion, walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour. And in Titus 2:12, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We realize that temptation and evil influence does not come from God. It's recorded in James 1:13. James 1:13. Let no man say he's tempted of God. Let no man say that. God and His Son are blameless. Satan's the great deceiver. And he tests us, of course, the Lord tests us, but we're assured again of a promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Not above that which he can endure. But we want to grow from our experiences. And remember the Lord's example once again from Hebrews 5:8, that He learned obedience by the things He suffered. So we want to become more obedient, more stronger in character, in heart, more firm in the truth and the principles of righteousness, so that we can really have them registered in our hearts and minds. And sometimes we're going to have failure. We might have complete failure. But the next time we're going to be the better prepared to go on and face that experience and grow from it and learn from it. And brethren, remember that this development of heart goes on throughout our lives. It doesn't end today. It goes on tomorrow. It prompts us to acts of love and charity. 1 Corinthians 14:1. follow after charity. The diglot says, pursue love. Follow the gospel. Make love your aim. And earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may have a better understanding of the things that you read and study. And also, once again, that we let our light shine. We plant those good tidings of great joy that should be to all people. And we want to be loving, kind, and compassionate to the world. We're understanding their difficulties. But especially to do this practice of love and compassion and understanding to those in the household of faith. 1 John 3:14. Because we love the brethren. And this is how we're working toward this. This is the agape love which Paul wrote, and he used to help many in the Christian walk and the missionary work to endure the hardships. Because as it says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love endureth all things. So blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you in my name. 2 Timothy 3:12. And whosoever shall live godly shall suffer persecution and have trials and difficulties. But we want to be patient. Rejoice in patience. Rejoice in this hope that is set before us. Because really this is how we progress in a way pleasing to the Heavenly Father. So, brethren, let us live what we believe in our hearts by example, especially from Matthew 5:16. Let's take full advantage of our opportunities, full advantage of our trials and experience to become stronger in character, more firm, more full of the truth and principles of righteousness. We're still in the school of Christ. We're still learning and developing as we go on. Let us rejoice in the things that we have suffered for Christ's sake and endeavor to be more faithful in all respects concerning the truth. So during today, and as we depart and go to our various homes, let us strive to absorb the words that we hear spoken in our studies, the discourses, in our fellowship together to discuss the Word of God and develop and grow stronger and go further. Remembering that if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And that we have this privilege to gather together and really to partake of that rich supply and to gather the supply of food from the Heavenly Father, spiritual food, that we can be sustained. And we realize in the sake of our own physical heart, you have to have a proper diet. You have to have a proper diet. And we realize also this proper diet applies to our heart, the new growth and development. There's the importance of water, which is used in the Scriptures as a symbol of refreshing truth. Again, to usward who believe. One of my favorites is Psalm 23. You know that one. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Now, the still waters are still, but they're not stagnant. They're deep. They're pure. They're the words of God, His truth. And again, He restoreth my soul. The truth of the divine plan really serves as both food and drink for the Lord's people, His footstep followers. Again, it comes from personal study, attending meetings, conventions, approaching the Lord in prayer for guidance and help in time of need. To approach Him in the night watches when it's only you and the Lord, and you're approaching Him and you're asking Him for help and comfort as we brought out earlier. 1 Peter 2:1 tells us to feed on the milk of the Word. And you develop, you partake of that meat then in due season. You grow, you progress, you're stronger spiritually. And in Psalm 81:16, you can partake of the finest of the wheat from the rich storehouse and honey, it says. If you partake of the finest of the wheat, remember our Lord's words, I am that bread of life. This is the bread which came down from heaven. I am that living bread. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. John 6:48-51. And really then through the Holy Spirit we can digest this food that we are given. And then we use it to develop as new creatures in Christ Jesus. So, brethren, let us go on and develop a heart that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Let us exercise love for the brethren. Remember, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And we're doing that daily as we strive and have opportunities to do so. That your joy might be full. That you love one another with brotherly love, this body of Christ, sacrificing, holy, acceptable to God. So, brethren, let our lips tell forth his praise, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Nothing, Lord, why withhold? I will give my all, because he has opened my eyes of understanding, and I will gladly devote my all to him, striving to bring every thought into obedience to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. And we realize that nothing short of this would be acceptable to the Heavenly Father. Christ Jesus, that also guides us, that we should let our light shine. And we have these qualifications of righteousness which will make you a light bearer and acceptable to the Father. Let us then lead a life pleasing to him. Yield yourselves to him. Rejoice in whatever experience may result from our walk in this narrow way. Be true to your call. And remember our Christian brethren, those in this household of faith. Let us set our priorities and keep them strong and develop that heart that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. For the time, as we've been told, is indeed short. Let us be faithful while the opportunities still exist to show forth love and devotion and understanding and compassion. This should be our heart's desire. And may the Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Michael, for that lesson. And we're happy to have had Brother Kinsley with his lesson this morning, and also Brother Michael Balko. And he will close with a word of prayer and ask a blessing on our fellowship and also on our lunch.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, our giver of every good and perfect gift, hallowed be the most holy and blessed name. We're indeed privileged that we have this opportunity to gather together in this meeting place with those of like precious faith. Dear Father, we thank thee for the service earlier today and for the opportunity to sing praises to thee and for the sweet fellowship. And as we gather together, we're mindful of those that wanted to be here but were unable to, and be with them and keep them close to thee, and especially those who are in beds of sickness that are in special need of prayer and considerations from thee. Grant them according to thy will and to their needs. We do love them, and we are thankful for these bonds of love that bind us together, as yoke fellows with one another and with thee, and thy dear Son, dear Father. We are so thankful for the gift of thy Son, and for calling us out of darkness in this marvelous light, and for giving us a heart that can have compassion and understanding and love. We realize that thou art that source of love, and we're thankful so much for this love that has been showered upon us, Father, in all of our days, and especially today. So be with each one here. Bless our fellowship together, and also our meal, that we may be strengthened by it to go on in a way pleasing to thee. Bless the hands that provided and prepared it. And again, help us so that we can go on each day to serve thee in the cause of truth and righteousness, and plant seeds of hope and encouragement to the groaning human family, that indeed better times are ahead. Dear Father, we also ask forgiveness when we fall short. We are weak. We need thee in many ways. Help us along those lines, for thou knowest our needs. Committing all thy care, dear Father, we pray and thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, our dear Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.